Amen. Welcome. Excited and blessed to be here this morning. Thankful we didn't blow away. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for your grace and your goodness, your kindness that has been extended to us, Lord, and to each and every one who will come and receive what you are offering, what you're giving freely. Fully paid for by yourself, by your act of giving yourself selflessly for us. Lord, I pray that our time together this morning around your word would be sweet, would be encouraging and challenging to our hearts, would draw us after our Savior. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to start this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read a section, and then that it kind of just sets the theme and the precedent, and then we will look at a few verses towards the end of that section. We're going to begin 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse 7. He's speaking here of the Old Testament law and how it interacted and related to the lives of the people who had to interact and relate in relation to it, and the contrast between that and what we live in today, what we live in the New Testament, in under the finished work of Christ and his salvation and fulfilling that law. So he begins here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. He says, "But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away." So remember the story. Moses comes down off the mountain. He's been communing with God. He's been receiving the commandments, and he comes down, and his face is glowing because of the time spent in the presence of the Lord. So much so that the children of Israel were scared to look at him. They couldn't bear to look at him. And so he ended up putting a veil over his face so he could stand and tell them the things that God had told him to tell them and to share with them, because it was too much. It was too glorious. It was too powerful to see this man who had just come down from days upon days upon days of time spent in the presence of God, and his face is just radiating light. It's glowing. It says here, Paul's making a comparison. He's saying that was going to be done away. That was something that was for a time, and now it's been fulfilled and it's been set aside. And he says, if that was glorious, so glorious that people couldn't even look at Moses' face, he says that glory was to be done away. Verse 8, he says, "How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" In other words, even more glorious, the ministration of the Spirit. "For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministry of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth." What we have now is so much more glorious, it makes the original that was so glorious look as though it didn't even have any glory, he says, "by reason of the glory that excelleth." This is so much more glorious, so much more bright and glorious that it overshadows it. It's like when you're out at night and you turn on a really powerful flashlight, it feels really bright, right? But if you try to take that same flashlight out in the daytime and turn it on a bright sunny day, you're going to be like, "Is this thing on? I can't tell if it's on or not," because the sun is so much more glorious that it takes away from the gloriousness of that really bright million-watt candle-power flashlight that you were so proud of the night before, right? And so he's saying the same thing applies here. He's giving that as an analogy. He says, "For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious." Verse 12, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So here's this new covenant that's so much more glorious that it says it makes the other, by being so much more glorious, it makes the other dim. And yet in Christ, he says he takes away that veil. So not only it's more powerful, but the veil is removed. Verse 15, he says, verse 16 we're ready for. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, some of this wording, the way that Paul expresses it here, I don't know how it was expressed in the original language that when it got translated into English, some of these things got a little bit hard to piece together exactly what he's talking about. But in verse 17, he talks about the Spirit of the Lord. He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He's talking about that veil being removed. We're not blocked off anymore. We're not shielded off anymore from the glory and the reality of what is here available and what we have that we can look into. The liberty is that veil is removed. It's no longer there. It's no longer blocking. It's no longer shielding off part of this glory, part of this light from us. It's the freedom to look without the veil, the freedom to look behind the veil, you might say. And we see that when Christ dies on the cross and that veil of the temple is rent from top to bottom. Now, if you're going to rend something that's hanging on a bar, it's a whole lot easier to rend it from the bottom up, right? But God wasn't concerned about easy. He was tearing that wide open and he rent that veil from top to bottom. And we were given access. That veil was taken away. The liberty of the Spirit of Christ, the liberty of the Spirit of the Lord is that we can come into his presence. We can stand before him. We have access that was denied to the children of Israel. They would have a question for the Lord. They would come talk to Moses. After there was some of the later things set up where there was more people to help share that load, you would go talk to your representative. And if he couldn't answer it, then he would go talk to Moses on your behalf. And then Moses would go and talk to the Lord, and then he would come back and give you an answer. And it might go through 3-4 different people between you and Christ, between you and God. But we have been given the freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We've been given the liberty to walk. Hebrews tells us, walk boldly into the throne room of grace. It's amazing. He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In the Old Testament, Moses only. But now in verse 18, he says, but we all, every born-again believer, every child of God has the right and the ability to come before their Father, to make their requests known to him, to bask in his presence, to spend time with the very God of creation. We all. This isn't any longer set aside for just a select few, for the special ones like Moses and Jeremiah and these different ones who had communion and communication with God. It's every believer has the ability and has the authority and the gift to be able to walk in to the presence of God Almighty and stand before him with open face. Wow. Not only is the way open, and there's no veil there anymore, but you and I can walk in, we all, with open face. We don't have to come cringing and, Lord, if you would maybe just out of your mercy grant me the clemency to hear me for but a moment. And, you know, all the things that you know, if you are, if you think of this in reality as coming before the King of all kings, it makes sense to come cringingly, right? Except that he's invited us. He's told us he wants us to come. Open face, unveiled. He says that this is God's heart. This is God's desire. We ought to be coming before the Lord, not going, just don't look back here. I'm glad to see you. How you doing? And we're trying to keep something hid behind our back. We're trying to keep something veiled, something carefully tucked away, because I know that would not make him happy. And I'm not ready. I'm not sure I'm ready to give that up. I'm not sure I'm ready to let that come out into the light, to let that be revealed before my Savior. But he calls each one of us. He says, we all, every one of us. Now, this is a collective individual concept. We all, it's everyone. It's all every is the way that Strong's defines it, is all every. So each one of us individually, we have that opportunity. We have that invitation. We have that right. And collectively, we all have that ability, that invitation to come into his presence, to spend time there as Moses did, basking in his presence, spending time. How I would love to have known what it was like to be on top of that mountain for 40 days communing with the Lord. But yet you and I have that right every day of our lives. All those other children of Israel, they didn't have that right. They could rightly say, I would love to know what it's like to be Moses and get to go up on Mount Sinai and spend that time with God, right? But you and I, if we don't take the time and go spend the time and bask in his presence and his glory, that's on us. The door's wide open. He's invited. He's waiting. How many times do we take advantage of that? How many times do we, you know, in theory, in concept, yeah, it would be really cool to experience what Moses experienced, right? But you and I can any day of the week, because we have, that veil has been taken away. We have been granted access by that Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. He says, we all, with open face, come, spend time with open face. Nothing reserved, nothing held back. With open face, nothing between. He says, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Beholding. This word does not mean just a quick glance. It means lingering. Continuing to look. Soak in the view. You know, I think of mountain climbers, and you know, you spend all this time, all this money, all this energy getting to the top of the mountain. Wouldn't you think it's weird if you climbed all the way up there and you went, oh, all right, let's go back down? No, man, I worked to get up here. I'm going to sit and enjoy the view for a while. I'm going to soak this in. I'm here in a very special place. And yet, how many times do you and I come into this very special presence of the Lord and we walk in and we, hey, good to see you. All right, well, I got stuff to do. I got to run. I'll talk to you tomorrow. The Lord's like, hey, don't you want to stay and visit a while? Don't you want to spend some time? Don't you want to get to know me? You want to go spend 40 days on a mountain with me till your face glows? I want to do that. The Lord wants that. He wants that closeness. He wants that connection with his people. He's thrown this wide open. No longer is this just for a person who is drawn close and they're the only one and the special one. This is now available to we all. We all have that opportunity. We all have that access by his Spirit. Am I taking advantage of it? Am I living that way? Do I live in that light? Beholding. Just soaking it in. Just being with him. Not full of all the things I have to say, of all my requests, all my thoughts, all my feelings, all the things. He wants to hear those too. But he wants to spend time with us just beholding his face. Just beholding. Just being there. Just dwelling with him in his presence. Just soaking him in. Beholding. He says, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Now this word is like a mirror. And we see this concept in James 1 where he talks about the word of God is like a mirror. He says, if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Now, we know from Scripture that the Word of God, that Jesus is the living Word of God. So this is that same living mirror that we look in and we continue therein. Not being a forgetful hearer, not just going, oh, huh, boy, I've got some stuff to work on. All right, Lord, I'll see you tonight or I'll see you tomorrow. But lingering, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, spending time, not so important, all the things, right? Not so important, all the things that we do, all the things that we want him to do for us, all the things that we do in our relationship with him of you know, okay, I want to spend a particular amount of time in prayer. I want to spend a particular amount of time in Bible reading. I want to get through such and such chapters in a year or anything like that. But am I spending time beholding him? Now, those can be means to an end, but they are not the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is with an open face, beholding, just beholding, just being with him. I've often thought, you know, there's different times, different seasons and phases in a person's life, right? When your kids get to a certain age, they're not necessarily looking to just sit with you. They want to do, they want to play, and there comes an age, and it's always special, it's always fun when it comes to that age, where they just want to be with you. And they still, you know, they still want to do things with you different times, but there's something special about just being with a person that you love. I remember growing up, I think it was Mom telling me, you know, how the more comfortable you get in a relationship with somebody, the more silence doesn't bother you or doesn't make you uncomfortable or doesn't make you nervous and like, oh, what can we talk about? What should I say? And the more comfortable that you get around a person, the more you can just enjoy just each other's company without having to say anything, just enjoying each other's presence. And I find the longer that I'm married to my wife, she still has lots of stuff to say, but the longer I'm married to my wife, the less I feel like I have to say, because you know me, you know who I am, you know my thoughts and my heart. I just want to be with you. I just want to sit with you. I just want to spend time with you. I'm not looking to tell you some new and exciting thing I dreamed up or thought up. I just like being around you. I just like spending time with you. And this is what the Lord is laying out before us here as an invitation, as a call to us. Hey, come and just spend time with an open face, beholding the glory of the Lord. Not worried about all the steps and all the things and all the other parts of it, but just beholding, just spending time soaking up the view, soaking up his presence. Now, what is this do in our lives? What is the outflow of this? He says, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we continue to look, as we continue to behold and to linger while going through the hardships and the difficulties, the stresses, the struggles of this life, we begin to be changed into His image. The only way you and I get meaningful growth in our life is by our experiences, by the things we go through with Him, by our struggles and our difficulties. It's so easy for us naturally. We're always wishing for and looking for getting to a place where it's not so tough, right? Getting past this season, getting to the next spot along the road where hopefully it'll be a little easier, a little less stressful once this season is done, once this period of time is done. And we naturally, we look forward to that. We wish for that. We long for that, right? And I don't mean to discourage you by this, but rather to set your expectation that this is the means by which you and I grow and are conformed to His image. And this is life. This is what comes our way. And it's good. It's not to be avoided. It's not to be longed for to pass and to be gone and to get to an easier season. What should be my intention and my desire is to go through it with Him. Now, the struggles alone, they don't produce this confirmation in our this shift in us to be more like His image, right? To be more conformed to His image. But facing them while beholding, while lingering, while spending time, the struggles will break us absolutely, completely will break us if we face them alone. We don't get better just by having a hard time. We just get bitter and jaded and self-focused and cynical. But going through those things while with an open face, nothing held back, beholding Him, spending time with Him, dwelling in His presence, it changes us, right? He says we're changed into the same image. The things we experience in life, everything that you and I experience in life that's of any real significance, it's going to change us one way or another. It's going to change us. It always does and it always will. It's going to change us for the better or for the worse, to be closer or further away from our Master, from our Lord, to be more like Him or less like Him, to have more of His responses and His heart and His compassion and His love, or to have less of it and be more self-focused and self-centered, to have more, to be more trauma-filled, or to be stronger, to be more, have more trigger points that I'm just waiting to blow up when somebody touches the wrong button, or I grow stronger and I grow more steady and rooted and grounded in Him. It depends on where I'm resting my gaze. It depends on where I'm resting my gaze. Because see, those things that come in our lives, they're going to change us. They're going to change us one way or another. But I can be changed into the same image as Christ from glory to glory, or I can be changed little by little away from Christ, changed little by little into more of a grumpy, cynical, pessimistic, jaded person, self-focused, self-centered, just, yep, that's the way life is, that's how it goes, I'm just, it's what I gotta expect, I guess. And, you know, we all know those people, we've all met those people, hopefully we're not those people, right? Because here's the thing. When you and I go through these trials and these difficulties and these hardships with Him, we become more and more conformed to His image. We're changed into His image little by little, piece by piece. What does that do in the world around us? What does that do from what people see from the outside? Boy, it's amazing. It's unprecedented. Nobody goes through stuff like that without crumbling, without being bitter, without being angry. How are you standing? I heard you talk about Jesus and it sounds good, but I don't know that I believe that. But once I watch you walk through some things and I see that it's actually real, that it's not just words, that it actually buoys you up through those circumstances, that you actually find the grace and the strength you need, all of a sudden I start to sit up and I say, huh, maybe there's something to this, right? And we see this concept from glory to glory. It's a little bit at a time. It's not that I spend 5 minutes beholding his face and now I'm perfect, right? But as I go along, as I live life, beholding his face, through all these things, I'm changed. Little piece by little piece, from glory to glory. Reminds me of Proverbs 4, verse 18. One of the verses that I has stuck in my mind for so many years, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It's ever increasing. The things that I can trust God with now would have swept me under last year, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. The more I dwell in him and on him, the stronger I grow, the more I lean, the brighter my light shines for his glory. People around me go, wow, I couldn't have gone through that. You go, yeah, I couldn't either. But Christ. And it's a megaphone of proof behind the things that you and I say. Because anyone can say, I'm happy when the sun's shining, right? Anyone can say, oh, Jesus is great. You should know, get to know him when everything's going smooth. And people go, okay, sure. Whatever you say, hey, I'm happy for you. I'm happy you found something that makes you happy. But when they see you and I face things, when they see you and I go through things with Christ and come out stronger and that light shining more, right? Because we should become more and more like what the children of Israel saw in Moses, that his face was shining, right? The more time we spend just dwelling and beholding, the more that light shines out, the more that radiance actually becomes part of us. We're not just being conformed into his image as in we're beginning to look like him. We're being conformed into his image as in we are becoming like him. Our character is beginning to shift and change for the good, to be more Christ-like. It opens up doors. People go, okay, go back. Tell me again, what were you telling me about Jesus? I wasn't really paying attention because, you know, it's just words then. But now I'm coming back and saying, hey, what was that? Something's different. Something's real. Something's giving you something I don't have. And I want that. But that doesn't just happen because I'm named the name of Christ. That doesn't just happen just because I show up in church Sunday morning. That doesn't just happen because of any of those things. That happens as I spend time getting to know my Lord, as I spend time beholding his face, as I'm walking through these difficulties, my perspective is adjusted a little bit because, you know what? It's not fun, but I'm with him, so it's okay. It's not what I'd prefer, but he's with me. Whom shall I fear? And we see this in Scripture, that the things that we suffer, the things we go through, the things that we face, they are used by God. They are intended to be used by God in other people's lives as well. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, flip back a couple chapters from where we were, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, he says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." God saying, hey, I've got enough for you, but I've not just got enough for you. The part of what this is to accomplish is not just growing you up and purifying you and conforming you to the image of Christ, but also giving you the tool chest to be able to help others who are in that same kind of predicament, because you've learned through your own walking through those things and beholding my face that I'm sufficient, that I'm enough. For the suffering of Christ, for as the suffering of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation or our comfort also abounds in Christ. The more things that we go through with Him, the more comfort we have to share and to give to other people, to say, hey, He did it for me. He will do it for you. If you stick with Him, if you trust Him, if you lean on Him, if you wait for Him, from glory to glory, more and more His light shining through us. And then He says, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is not my work. This is not your work. This doesn't happen by me trying harder. This doesn't happen by me trying to weed out all the things that I shouldn't have in my life, or all the reactions that I go, ooh, that wasn't very Christ-like. This happens by getting in His presence and beholding, dwelling, letting His character begin to transform me more and more into His image by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not my work. It's not my struggle. The work is accomplished in me as I abide, as I behold His face. It's easy to focus on the doing. But the most important thing for you and I in all of life is to behold Him, to spend time with Him, to allow His presence, His personality, His character to seep in. Luke chapter 10, verse 42, in the story of Martha and Mary, what does Jesus say? One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What was she doing? She was just sitting at His feet. She couldn't get enough of just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha's serving, Martha's doing, Martha's pouring her heart out. But Jesus said, there's one thing that's needful, and Mary got it right. And it will not be taken away from her. That one thing is being with Him. Beholding His face. With open face, beholding His glory. Spending time with Him. We have a unique, amazing opportunity that has not been available to people through all the ages of time before Christ opened up that veil. You and I have the opportunity, we have the access by His Spirit to come and to spend time sitting at His feet. How easy it is for me to look at the disciples, to look at Mary, to look at these different ones and be like, man, I wish I could have been there in that moment. I wish I could have seen Him heal somebody, you know, with my eyes. I wish I could have heard His voice as He preached the word and seen the 5 loaves and 2 fishes get multiplied. I wish I could have seen Him walk on water. I wish I could have seen all these things. I wish I could have spent time sitting at His feet. And I can't, because that veil has been torn away. And you and I have access. And yet how often and how easy it is for us to not use it. How easy it is for us to let the things of this life, instead of going through them with Him, we allow them to push us away from Him. We allow them to steal our focus, to steal our view. We're no longer beholding His face. Because, ouch, I didn't like that. I start fighting. I start interacting. I start trying to deal with these problems, these struggles, these hardships. I don't like them. And I'm changed. Believe you me, it changes you, right? But I'm not changed into His image. I don't have to deal with those things on my own. I'm called to, with open face, behold His glory, spend time with Him, and allow Him to work in me what He wants to through those hardships, through those difficulties, through those struggles. And the outflow is that I'm changed into His image from glory to glory by His Spirit. Let's pray. Father, You know our tendencies and our proclivities, Lord. You know our weaknesses. But Lord, we desire, we long, we want to learn to just behold. To simply spend time with You. To simply soak in Your presence. Soak You in. Learn to trust You. Learn to keep our eyes focused and fixed on You. Lord, we want to be used for Your honor and glory. We want to be that light that can shine through the darkness and show those around us Jesus and His reality and who He is. Lord, we want to be conformed to His image. Lord, I believe. Help Thou my unbelief. In Jesus' name.